Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Rates and Lanes with Rico Mohammed. This is the show where we improve your knowledge of the freight market, improve your bottom line, and improve the transportation industry as a whole. We're talking Rates and Lanes. Let's move on down the audio road.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Rates and Lanes podcast coming to you live tonight from Atlanta, Georgia. We're going to kind of get back into the groove of our regular scheduled program and how we normally do things here this evening. Of course, we got Mr. Chuck Snow. We're going to get a report from him and see how did everything transpire out there in Dallas at the truck show. Get a live report and see how things would all happen out there and if there's something interesting or new that happened out there in Dallas. But in the meantime, we're going to fall back and jump back into, we hadn't covered this in a little while. We're going to go over the latest and greatest from the USDA, the truck rate report from the USDA. There is a link that will be up and available for your viewing pleasure on the Rates and Lanes Facebook page. You can just go right on over there. You will see the picture of the actual report. And there's a link that I put there for you to click on and take you directly to the full report. As you know, we don't really cover the entire report on the show in depth. That will probably take the entire show. But we always like to tell everybody where they can go find the information for themselves and also just kind of give them a little bit of a disclaimer about some of the rate information that they print on the report to take it with a little bit of a grain of salt because it's not the most vetted reporting that is out there. Sometimes the numbers be a little inflated from what is actually reality on the spot market. But with that being said, without any further ado, we can glean some idea of where there's possibly some movement and advantages to be had on the spot market by looking at this report. And right now they are reporting that there are outright shortages in two areas in the country right now, and that those areas are southeast Missouri. They have melons being reported coming out of southeastern Missouri area, and also southwest Indiana and southeast Illinois, showing that watermelons are coming out of those areas. So there's a shortage of trucks in those areas, so there's an opportunity to be had. Moving on across, showing that there's still some opportunities to be had coming out of the San Joaquin Valley, California, Delaware, Maryland, East Shore, Virginia, and North Carolina. There's still a little bit of watermelons coming out of watermelon, not as much as previous weeks, but there's still some movement to be had out of there, and also Vidalia District, Georgia. Those are all the areas that are reporting slight shortages. Now, we have some other areas on the reverse end of that spectrum that are reporting slight surpluses of trucks in the area. And those areas, you know, you might want to avoid or make sure you take your backhaul with you before you get in there. Kern District, California, Salinas, Watsonville, California, Santa Maria, California. All three of those areas that I just listed off areas that are reporting a slight surplus. Areas that have an outright surplus of trucks right now, which probably means you might want to definitely avoid it if you don't have something already set up. Lower Rio Grande Valley, Texas, and Mexico crossing through Texas. So those are two areas right now that are showing an outright surplus of trucks. Might be a little difficult, might be like the old Roach Motel, easy to get into, hard to get out of. So you might want to be, you know, take that with a little bit of caution before you head down that way. And with no further ado, we're going to jump over into the DAT Trend Lines report for this week. The report is showing that prices have climbed by 0.6 percentage points, showing an average fuel price of $3.23 per gallon nationally. This report is for the week of August 19th through the 25th. So Labor Day weekend is right around the corner, and that has contributed to higher truckload demand on the spot market. Back-to-school season also boosts reefer load posts. The tighter truckload capacity slowed the recent downward trend in freight rates, through the national average for vans, reefers, and flatbeds, each edged down by 1 cent per mile, respectively. Let's take a deeper dive and look at see how these were affected by each segment, starting out with dry vans, of course. We're going to start out with the National Demand and Capacity Report for dry vans, back-to-school demand and urgency to get shipments in place ahead of Labor Day led to tighter spot market last week. Van load posts on DAT load boards edged up by 2%, while truck posts dropped by 6%. That pushed the national load-to-truck ratio up 7.1 loads per truck. The national average van rate dipped by 1 cent per mile. Historically, looking at about the same time last year, last year and last month, respectively. Van trucks outpaced load post in July, with truck post up 11% and load post down 18% compared to June. That pushed the van load to truck ratio 26% lower from a record high of 9.9 van loads per truck down to 7.3 loads per truck. The July ratio was 41% higher than it was at the same time of July of 2017. Taking a look over to see how the national van rates were performing over the week of August 19th through the 25th, the national average van rate for August slipped another 1 cent at $2.15 per mile as late summer pricing stabilized. The load-to-truck ratio for vans climbed. And taking a look back historically, the national average van rate last month was $2.29 per mile, the highest July average ever. It was just 2 cents below the June average, which was the highest monthly average ever recorded in Trendline's history. The July average was 51 cents higher previous year. Taking a look around the country, sorting everything out by region, starting out in the northeastern portion of the United States, we have Pennsylvania being a representative city for the northeastern corridor, showing an average spot market rate of $2.04 per mile. Moving down into the southeastern portion of the United States, Atlanta, Georgia being the representative city, showing an outbound spot market rate for dry vans at $2.35 per mile. Moving up into the Midwest, Chicago, Illinois being the representative city, showing an average spot market rate of $2.60 per mile. That moving down into the south central portion of the United States, Dallas, Texas being the representative city, showing an average spot market rate of $1.89 per mile. And wrapping up the report, showing that actually the highest outbound spot market rate coming out of the West Coast, City of Angels, Los Angeles, California, reporting $2.62 per mile on the outbound spot market rate. Moving over to flatbed demand and capacity portion of the DAT Trendlines report for this week. After falling for 10 weeks, the national load-to-truck ratio edged up 3% last week. Load posts were up 1% last week, while truck posts dipped by 2%. That pushed the national flatbed ratio to 28.2 loads per truck. The national average flatbed rate fell by 1 cent. Taking a look back historically, flatbed load posts dropped by 40% in July compared to June, while truck posts increased 16%. That led to a 48% decline in the national flatbed ratio, dropping to a still high 44.7 loads per truck. That ratio was 21% higher than it was in July of 2017. Taking a look to see how the rates were performing for flatbeds over the previous week. Nationally, the average flatbed rate for August dipped 1 cent to $2.66 per mile. However, the national load-to-truck ratio edged upward. Taking a look back historically, after hitting an all-time high in June, the national average flatbed rate eased off 5 cents in July to $2.77 per mile. July's flatbed rate was 60 cents higher than it was in July of 2017. Taking a look around the country, starting out in the northeastern portion of the United States, Harrisburg, Pennsylvania being the representative city and also leading the charge for outbound spot market rates for flatbeds at $3.99 per mile. Moving down into the southeastern portion of the United States, Atlanta, Georgia checks in, showing an average spot market rate at $2.95 per mile. Moving up into the Midwest, Rock Island, Illinois checks in, showing an average spot market rate of $3.14 per mile. Dropping down into the south central portion of the United States, Houston, Texas checks in, showing average spot market rates at $2.99 per mile. And wrapping up, coming out of the West Coast, Phoenix, Arizona, being the representative city, showing outbound spot market rates for flatbeds at $1.95 per mile. Now let's jump over into the segment that's near and dear to my heart, the Reefer Report. The national demand and capacity portion for reefers are temperature controlled. Reefer load post on DAT load boards jumped up 10% to a typical trend as students head back to school and grocery stores stock shelves ahead of Labor Day. Truck posts fell by 5%, which pushed the load-to-truck ratio up to 9.6 loads per truck. The national average reefer rate slipped. Taking a look back historically, if I can speak straight, reefer load post declined 24% in July compared to a very busy June, and truck post increased to 14%. That caused the national load-to-truck ratio to fall 33% to 8.8 loads per truck. The ratio was the same in July of 2017. So now let's go and take a deeper dive and look and see how those rates were performing over the previous week. The national average for reefer rates dipped to $2.49 per mile on average for the month of August through an increase in demand pushed by national load to truck ratio higher. Taking a look back historically, kicking in. And bear with me for just a second, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to have to go to a reserve because my system is freezing up on me right now. So bear with me for just one second. We'll get it right back up. And we'll keep it moving. The wonders of live radio. So we were talking about the rates, and we will get ready to give you the historical data for rates. July's national average reefer rate was $2.61 per mile, 9 cents below the June rate, which was the highest monthly level ever recorded in trend lines. Compared to July of 2017, the rate was 54 cents higher. Now, there's an interesting correlation there that the rate is 54 cents higher than it was last year, but at the same time, last year, we were at the same capacity as far as there's no difference as far as the capacity from last year to this year. So that's an interesting correlation, which is also good news for us. But to give you more, going back to the rate information for this week, average spot market rates by region, starting out in the northeastern portion of the United States, Elizabeth, New Jersey checks in showing an average outbound rate for reefers at $2.28 per mile. Moving down into the southeastern portion of the United States, Lakeland, Florida being the representative city, showing average spot market rates of $1.61 per mile. Moving up into the Midwest, leading the country, Green Bay, Wisconsin, checks in showing $3.45 per mile on the spot market. Coming out of the Rio Grande, McAllen, Texas, down out of the south central portion of the United States, $2.18 per mile. And coming out of the West Coast, Fresno, California, showing an average spot market rate of $2.57 per mile. And with that being said, no further ado, still got some technical difficulties that we're fighting with. So give me a second here. I'm going to try to switch over systems and bring on guest, host, guest co-host, and get him up and on board with us. Mr. Chuck Snow, I spoke with him right before the show started. Got him here, and let's see if this is going to work. Chuck, are you there?
I certainly am, Rico.
Cool. All right, we worked through that little hiccup.
You did pretty well, because you did a lot better than I do.
You know, and I forgot, I'm remiss in my duties, Chuck. I forgot to one portion of the show that people definitely like to listen in on real quickly, and if you don't mind, I forgot to give the Bad Broker Report.
Yes, I was wondering about that. I was sitting here with bated breath waiting to hear who's going to rip who off this week.
Well, we're just going to cover the people for August.
Okay.
Because I don't think we've given one for the entire month of August. So we're going to go back and go to the beginning of August.
Okay.
And luckily, the list is not tremendously long. But starting out the Bad Broker Report, A&H Brokerage Services, their DOT number is 223-5232. Their MC number is 540-578. FMCSA shows that their trust fund canceled on 8-6-2018. They have over $25,000 in non-payment complaints that have been reported. Transnational Service, Inc., their MC number is 177-303. FMCSA shows that the surety bond canceled on 7-2018. They have over $33,000 in non-payment complaints that have been reported. Ally Truck Lines, LLC, that MC number is 079-725. FMCSA shows that the trust fund canceled on 7-25. They have over $20,000 in non-payment complaints that have been reported. Rockwell Industries, LLC, that MC number is 053-975. FMCSA shows surety bond canceled on 2-17-2018. Over $18,000 in non-payment complaints have been reported. Camel Logistics, Inc., that MC number is 457-797. FMCSA shows surety bond canceled on 6-9-2018. They have over $29,000 in non-payment complaints that have been reported. Direct Express Logistics, Inc., MC number is 908-309. FMCSA shows that the surety bond canceled on 5-23-2018. They have over $17,000 in non-payment complaints. iTransport Solutions, LLC, MC number is 938-243. FMCSA shows surety bond canceled on, is set to cancel on 9-20-2018. So this one is still active, ladies and gentlemen. Over $97,000 in non-payment complaints have been reported. Again, the name of that company is iTransport Solutions, LLC. That MC number one more time, 938-243. The next one and last one on the list, Aegis Logistics Group, LLC. That MC number is 984-301. Over $23,000 in non-payment complaints have been reported. There's no reports as far as surety bond set scheduled for cancellation just yet on that one. And that wraps up the Bad Broker Report. All right, Chuck, I apologize. Back to you.
Don't apologize. Important stuff, Rico.
Yeah, wanted to get a full report from you. To, you were out in Dallas last week, and pretty sure there was bunched and tons of interesting stuff that was out going on out that way. So for those of us that were not able to make it, bring us up to speed. What all did you see and what all did you learn?
Well, you know, first of all, I just want to put this out there. Any of our listeners out there that want to call in that went to the show, I'd love for you to call in and just give your perspective of what you got out of it. Unfortunately, I couldn't walk the whole show because I had a booth. So I was somewhat stationary, but I walked around whenever I got a chance, whenever I got, you know, a moment to just stretch my feet, my legs and my feet. And great show, but my gosh, there were a whole lot of recruiters and factoring companies. On the recruiting side, I spoke to a number of them. I had quite a few come by my booth, and what they had to report was dismal. They were really having a tough time recruiting drivers. And, you know, and I spoke to a woman in front of my hotel as I was leaving to take an Uber to the airport. And she said, you know, this was 3 days wasted. She said, I hardly got anybody that I could even look at our booth. And it's the same sort of comment I got from other people. And just the people I saw that were around those booths looking for work, I didn't see any younger people. I only saw older people. And apparently, you know, it's pretty dismal. However, that's good for the people that are listening to our show that have trucks that are doing this, because that means that rates are going to stay up where they are. I think right now some of the downward trend on rates that we discussed or that you discussed on the trend line report, I think those are temporary. Those are seasonal adjustments. There's no influx of trucks with drivers coming onto the market. There's lots of trucks being built. If you pick up any trade rag, they're, you know, the truck and trailer factories are working at their maximum trying to put equipment out, but there's nobody to drive them. And I think that's one of the things that the carriers are doing, is they're buying new equipment in hopes of being able to lure drivers in to come to work for their fleet, but there's nobody to drive them. So you can buy all the brand new Kenworths and Peterbilts. It doesn't matter. It's irrelevant. There's nobody that wants to be out on the road long haul, which, you know, that plays into what we all do to keep the rates up. So that was pretty interesting. I was shocked at how many people came by the booth that listened to this show. Not just dial in, but they listened to it after online. I was like, I was totally surprised. So we've certainly made a great, input in the industry. People are listening and they like what we're doing. The FM CSA, they were right across the hall from us, like right across the aisle. And unfortunately, I missed one of the lectures they were giving. And Ray Martinez was there, who's the administrator. Talked about him on the last show. And he was there taking notes what drivers were saying. And my understanding is that a lot of the older drivers especially were quite concerned about autonomous vehicles. Not so much taking work away from them, but future generations. But, you know, when you, on the other hand, when you talk to the recruiters, there are no future generations that want to do the work. So, you know, autonomous trucks will, if they ever do come, into the mainstream of trucking, there's a huge need, because it doesn't seem at this point people want to drive trucks, especially long distance. Now, a lot of the drivers that came by our booth that we spoke to were saying that they drive local, and this is both owner-operators and company drivers. That seems to be a big thing, especially in Dallas. And they wouldn't trade it for the world, because they want that family time. So, you know, as you and I have discussed many times, maybe we need to look in the future at some sort of a hub and spoke idea where drivers can be home every night, because that seems to be the big selling factor. They don't want to be sleeping in their bunks.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think that you got more and more people that are with families being what it is, and people, you know, it's not, I don't know, the trucking industry has changed so much through so many different transformations, and people, you know, not like they used to be, and things that, you know, there's a certain kind of person that's got that gets attracted to this industry and that loves the whole experience of being a truck driver. But so many things with all of the different regulations and so on and so forth that have happened to the industry have kind of driven those people out, and the people that they're trying to replace the people that it appealed to with, they don't have the same type of interest, the same type of things that drove people towards the industry 20, 30 years ago. You got a different breed out here now, and not many people are looking forward to being away from their families 2 and 3 months at a time. And so that's something that's definitely got to be addressed within the industry. We have to, to overcome the to make things happen. Those are some things that we definitely have to address and overcome. And also we got Ted Johnson on the line. You want me to go and grab Ted?
Go ahead.
Called in a little earlier. We'll go and grab Ted real quick. Ted, you're up and live with Rico and Chuck. How are you this evening?
I'm doing great. Thank you. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, fine.
Yes, sir. You're coming in loud and clear.
How are you, Ted?
Good.
So tell our listeners, you were at GATS, correct?
Correct.
What did you get out of that show? What was your takeaway?
I got a lot of knowledge. I think no matter how big an event is or how small or how much time you spend at an event like that, I think there's always something to be taken away. And I took a lot more away from that show than I anticipated. I got to meet and shake Ray Martinez's hand, the head of the FMCSA, who you brought up there a little bit ago.
Right.
And I see a chance for this industry to see some good change. I'm not exactly probably what folks want, but I think it's great we got someone listening to us. I met with some big other carriers that were there. I was just kind of walking by, no really intentions of talking with them, but I'm finding out that I'm building relationships with two big carriers, one right next door to me and one not so close to me, but they move 2,500 loads of refrigerated freight during the week. And that company, cell phone number of a vice president who just said, we got a lot of trailers in your area, and if you can help us out in any way, we'd love to work with you. So, you know, things just happen. I had no idea that would. So it was definitely worth the trip down there. And then I got to have supper with the CEO and founder of Traffix, Chuck Snow. So,
that was a good dinner.
it was a very good dinner. And, you know, so I'm building good relationship there, and I'm building relationship with other folks that will hopefully help my business.
Oh, they will. You know, all those people you met at the show, they all help. And it's important for us to sometimes get out and to do things and to not just work in our business, but work at it and expand and just expand our knowledge. It's so important. You and I talked briefly at the show about, you know, what the CMC, you know, and I don't even know if there's any more room at the CMC this year because it's getting close. It's probably about 3 weeks away. But the stuff that you learned there that wasn't available when I got into this industry, you know, you had to depend on somebody giving you the straight goods 44 years ago, where today there's a lot of education available. There's a lot more truck shows out there, and there's just, between online and actually even hard books and just, you know, the satellite radio is wonderful. The Trucker Channel, there's all sorts of places. There's other podcasts. Rates and Lanes is great. There's other ones as well. There's all sorts of knowledge, and you can get it from anywhere. And it's really, really important to keep increasing what you learn. And it's not just about our business, but about business in general, because trucking is affected by every other business in the world. You know,
yeah.
It doesn't matter. It's all connected. And one thing I want to mention, it was a real delight when I was down there. I was introduced for the first time to the Wall Street Journal. I've actually never read it before. And I looked at it. It was in the hotel every day, and I scanned it. I just skimmed over it, and I thought, interesting publication. And I grabbed the Saturday edition before I left, and on the plane from Dallas to Toronto was a 3-hour plane trip, and I read it from cover to cover. It took me 3 hours. So I don't know what the Wall Street Journal costs on Saturday, but my God, I learned more things between, you know, and some things were related directly to our business. Some things were indirectly related. And then there were some other things. You know, there was some articles on other subjects, food and wine and all sorts of things. But it's just reading things like that that will broaden your horizon and they will have an effect. I got some great sales leads out of it, where I saw that companies were expanding and they were working it within areas that we could serve them. So that's a great area for sales leads that other people sometimes don't think about.
Right. And like I said, there was opportunity presented to me that I wasn't really out to look for, but just amazing what came of it. And this was kind of the first event that I brought my wife to trucking related, because I have some intentions of growing. And I'm going to need her beside me for her support and, you know, helping me with the business side of things. And she didn't really know what to expect. So on the way down there, she was a little doubtful that if she would enjoy it or not. But on the way home, I couldn't get her to be quiet. I mean, she is really and it's awesome that I married someone and I'm getting to share my passion with her now. And I think it might become her passion as well, but it's nothing better than having someone right beside you for your support and right there with you in the business. And, you know, it's important for her to start learning it with me as I grow, I think. So I think other events that we'll attend in the near future, she'll be there with me, and we'll see what comes of it all.
Oh, that's great to hear. It makes my heart feel good, because that's what we did, my wife and Mary and I. We've worked together really since I started Traffics in building this thing. She's been there lockstep with me, and it really helps to have somebody with you to share the burden and to share, and you know what, and to share the wins too.
Right. And I just want to add to the education part of it. Everybody listening, no matter what you do in life, you can't know enough of it. And there's this between reading, attending events, you have to keep you got to continue your education to keep learning. You got to expand that knowledge book, because if you don't, you will get beat up in business, and you'll be going, the worm will turn. It'll curve right back down, and you'll lose out. You got to keep up with the pace of business, because it's moving fast anymore with technology, and you got to be right there with it when it's moving forward. It's moving fast.
Very true.
So, anyway, without all that being said, like I said, the highlight of our whole trip was getting to sit down with you for supper. I mean, you have so much knowledge and education and experience to share, and it was well worth it. So I hope people keep listening.
Well, I'm glad to hear
show.
That. And I got to say, and I want to tell our listeners, Ted is he's an owner-operator out of Nebraska. He runs a truck, and he had dinner with one of our senior salespeople from our Dallas office and I, him and his lovely wife, Sarah. And when he stepped away for a minute to use the facility, my salesperson, John, said to me, you know what? That young man has got to become the poster boy for this industry if there's any hope for it. So I certainly hope you become that.
Well, I appreciate that, and I was blown away by that comment. So, you know, just only gives me more energy, and just to keep doing what I got to this point because I do all the little things and big things right. And for anybody to move forward, you have to keep the little things. You have to continue to do everything right and stay on top of your numbers. You know, like you guys have mentioned in the past, we're accountants driving trucks, and that is
That's
so
right.
true. And you have to know your numbers.
There's no business like this that's so numer-centric.
Correct. And, you know, right now I got this figured out. By the time I get home, I will have driven 1,054 miles and generated $2,692 for the week. I'm having a short week because I got some things going on. But so I'll be right at 255 a running mile, and that's with 15% deadhead, 85% loaded. Not too shabby for a slow week before.
No, I think that's great. I think you should be proud of yourself.
Well, thank you. And, you know, it's no tarp freight, and it's on a flatbed, so not too bad.
Oh, that's great. Well, keep up the great work.
All right. Well, that sounds good. Well, thanks for having me on, guys. It's been a
take care and be safe.
Listening.
Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
All right.
All right, Ted. We appreciate the phone call. The most impressive part of that phone call that I just got just now was when he just absolutely just rattled off those numbers and knowing exactly the percentage of deadhead, knowing how much he generated. Now, that's having the pulse of your business, keeping your thumb on top of everything. That
you
was
have
definitely
to.
An impressive question. Yeah,
and
but
you know, Rico,
go ahead, Chuck.
I had people come to the booth, and when I asked them questions like that, and they came back to me with numbers, and they didn't know them, and you know, they were upside down. I said, you know what? You need to give your head a shake. You need to know how many miles and how much you're getting. You know, my first question is, what do you have? You know, they're asking me questions and how to improve their position. And the first question I go is, you know, what are you averaging per mile? Well, I never stopped to figure that out. Well, that's number one.
But the key thing is you inspect what you expect. And the thing about it is if you're not tracking it, how do you know what you're doing? You got to be measuring it. You got to have some kind of way of keeping on top of it. And you know, that's the key thing, that if you're not the most organized person, there are tools that help you assist to do that for you. You have to dispatch everything. You have to invoice them. There are programs that allow you to put this stuff in, and as long as you put it in and you're invoicing it, you know, it kind of helps you. It kind of, you know, simplifies it for you to take a little bit more of the work out of your hands. But you know, you still should be on top of it and at least printing out the reports to see, okay, what's my average deadhead? What's, you know, how many miles am I traveling? So what is my cost per mile? So on and so forth. And, you know, there are programs out there that are available that can do that for you, but you still just have to, you know, we have to get out of the, you know, to steal an old saying from my grandfather, we have to get the molasses out of our ass, you know.
Well, you know, Rico, I remember having to do all this manually. And there's nothing wrong with it, especially if you're running one or two trucks, because once you can do it manually, then you'll know if you've made a mistake when you're putting your numbers in. What happens a lot of times is when somebody's using programs, they may be putting something in, putting it in wrong.
Absolutely.
And especially with one truck. You know, it's a great exercise to run a couple of columns on a old-fashioned piece of paper.
Yeah, to have an old ledger to go back. But, you know, there are things, you know, you go back and you print off the reports. And once you get familiarize yourself to a degree, you'll start to see, like, if you did input something wrong, you'll kind of start to see, wait a minute, something's not quite right here with these numbers. You'll begin to see it the more you do it, and the more you come accustomed to it, you'll see those things and you'll catch them. But you know, being on top of that is definitely, that's the key figure. And like he was saying, he's talking about growing, and growth is, you know, that's the, either you're growing, that's the sign of life, or if you're just stagnant and you're not doing anything, then of course, then, you know, depending upon, let me not say that. I don't want to generalize that. I'm going to take that back. Because some people are just content and they're happy with just being the one truck Charlie. That's all that they want to do. And I don't think that there's, you know, there's not a right or wrong way. If that's what makes you happy, if that's what you like to do, then I think that, you know, there's a successful model out there for someone that's all they want to do as well.
Oh, 100%. And I've met an awful lot of very successful owner-operators that have one truck and do very well. A lot of times those people come from other industries, and they've learned to drive a truck, or they bought a truck much later on in life when maybe the kids are all grown up and they don't have that burning desire to set the world on fire, but they want to make a good living, and they make a damn good living. You know, we have those guys come in and out of here all day long, both to our docks and coming here to pick up their checks, and they do very well. And, you know, most of them will run a particular lane. And they've got a great business. I've met people that have made a fair bit of money with one truck doing partial loads. And people have gotten to know them because they run partial loads from A to B and B to A. And they're not interested. You couldn't offer them a second truck if you tried. And they'll make arrangements with somebody else. You know, they'll take their holidays once or twice a year, and they make arrangements with a friend. Most of them have a friend they work with that maybe works another lane, and they kind of cover each other or works the same lane. A lot of times it's good to have somebody just in case you book 80 feet of trailer and you only have a 53-foot dry van. That happens because freight grows. You know, you're supposed to go and pick up 10 feet, and you're not allowed on a dock, and you get assigned for the stuff, and it's 30 feet. I don't know if that's ever happened to you, but it's happened to us many times.
Yeah. So, Chuck, being out there in Dallas, what are some other things that were there any kind of exhibitions or anything that took place that you got a chance to participate in, to see anything? Did they have any of those autonomous trucks out there available, or, you know, and to see any of those in action?
I'll be honest, if they had any there, I didn't see them. I certainly saw Fitzgerald Gliders was there with their show, and I got to tell you, it's spectacular. It really is with their equipment. Great-looking stuff. And where I was located, the hole where I was, you really I didn't see anything like that. I got to tell you, I could not believe how many factoring companies were in that building. There were all sorts of them, and a lot of them we do business with, and the rates have just tumbled in for some of those factoring companies. There was one there that was charging, really, it was, I think they're charging 1%, which is a phenomenal rate. So that works out to, they're getting paid in 12%, 30 days, that works out to 12% a year. That's affordable.
Right.
You can do that. You could build a business on that.
That's tremendous.
Yeah, because it's gotten so competitive. One of the factors came by my booth, and I was talking to them, and I said, well, you know, you've got, and this is probably the oldest factoring company that serves our industry, and I don't want to give away any names, but it starts with an R. And there's a place in France that has the same sort of name and Italy, but I'm not going to mention their name. Nice people. And we were talking, and I said, you know, you got some tough competition out here right now. And he said, yeah. He said, but, you know, you have to also remember that that's recourse. And we charge more, but it's non-recourse. And those are the differences. But I guess what it is, there's so much money out there, and these people are able to borrow vast sums of money, and they're borrowing it at 3 or 4%, and they're lending it out at 12 or 15% a year, and they're making money on the spread.
Absolutely, there's a nice little niche to be had right there, doing those type things. You know, a lot of people. I'd be interested to see any investment opportunities out there for anybody, any of the guys and girls out there that may have a self-directed 401k or a self-directed IRA. I'd be interested to see if there may be an opportunity to reinvest those funds back into the industry that they know and love so well by maybe getting on board with a company like that. I know some companies do. If you go to their website, they have like an investment portal or whatever, how you can invest with them and get a good rate of return on your investment dollar. That's something that maybe we that's something that I think we might target. Maybe make probably might be a good idea for some future shows is to do to surround some stuff talking about investments for owner operators and stuff like that. I think that that's a might be a good idea to kind of pitch out there, get some feedback from the audience and see if they if that's something that they may be interested in. But, you know, we could do some research on some stuff like that and maybe bring on some more guests to explain and talk about different investments and investment vehicles that people, if they're interested in, might be able to explore.
I think that's a great idea. You know, I got to tell you, personally, I like to invest in things I understand. I really don't want to invest
right.
in anything I don't understand. So if you understand the trucking industry, what a great thing to invest in.
Absolutely.
You know, Warren Buffett that's his point of view, too. He buys things like trailer rental companies like Extra Trailers, Dairy Queen, Coca-Cola, because he understands them.
Right. Extra Trailers, that is a Berkshire Hathaway company. And also Ingersoll Rand, which is the motor that they make for the Thermo King.
Right.
That's Warren Buffett as well. So he definitely is got his finger in on a lot of different things within the industry. And like you say, just keeping things simple, don't invest in anything that you're not exactly sure how it works or anything like that. But I think that, you know, be a good service for us to try to provide. And also, ladies and gentlemen, we are searching for different things that you guys may be interested in that we can try to make sure that we go and try to find some different things that we can bring back to you guys. So definitely leave us some feedback on the Rates and Lanes Facebook page on different things that you have an interest in and kind of give us, task us with a little bit of homework so we can try and reach out to different people that we, either between myself or Chuck, that we may have relationships with, that we can try to get those people on, just like we did last week with the sales guy, Blasinger. I hope you guys enjoyed that series that we tried to do this month about sales. Hopefully you got something from it. Hopefully you got something to add to your repertoire to begin to take back and grow your company if that's something that you so desire. Also, we got a bunch of people on the line. We got a few minutes left in the show. If you got a question right now, you can go ahead and press the number one. That puts you in the queue, and we'll get you up and on board. But, different. Just trying to throw out different ideas that we can try to bring back to you guys, that things in your toolbox, and also make you, something to enlighten and better your business and also, you know, make things easier for you guys. Chuck, anything that you want to add also before we try to make sure that we don't have any callers? Yeah, no one's called. We've got their hand raised right now, but we got quite a few people on the line, so don't be bashful. If you got a question, you can press number one. But I'll throw it over to you, Chuck. You want to, while we got a little time, you want to tell the people how they can get in contact with you and all that good stuff, or if there's anything new going on over at Traffix?
Well, yeah, there's lots going on. Our Denver, Colorado office is open. It's up and running and moving. And we're right now looking at our next office we're working on right now is down in Laredo, Texas. We had a couple people down there this week. And it looks like that'll probably be one of our next moves. So it's pretty exciting. If you need to get in touch with me, you can call me. You can call me directly. I think the best number these days, we've been having some problems with our 800 number in the head office. So you can reach me on the main line at 905-875-0708. My extension is 203. Or you can email me, chuck@traffix.com. That's C-H-U-C-K at Traffix, T-R-A-F-F-I-X. And I'll give you a couple of other phone numbers just in case. Our Chicago phone number for operations is 888-253-8010. And if you need a load out of the Chicago area or into the Chicago area, that includes Wisconsin, Minnesota, Ohio, 743 is the extension for the folks over there. And our team down in Dallas, which is actually in Plano, I spent a lot of great time with them. I had a lot of fun last week with that crew. Their number there is 888-713-5189, and their extension is 721. We also have an office in Montreal, Quebec. Give me a call if you need any information on that. Oakville, Ontario, and downtown Toronto. And I'd love to help any of our listeners. It really makes me feel good when I meet up with our listeners at venues like this event that I just went to at GATS, and they've taken our advice and they've run with it and they've had great success. Then I know that the work we put into this, Rico, is paying off, because you were talking at the beginning of the show about people losing their passion for this industry, and I don't think that your passion or my passion for this industry could ever be extinguished, and hopefully other people will get into it that have our passion, because that's what this is all about. It's about playing it forward. Now, I will be at the CMC in Council Bluffs, Iowa. I think that's the week of the 20th, if I'm not mistaken, of September, and I'll be speaking there. And then what I do there for the rest of the week, I'm mentoring. I'm doing one-on-ones. So, if you've got any available time, book yourself for the CMC. It's the best week you'll spend as far as learning how to improve your profitability in the trucking business. And I assure you, Kevin and Lisa aren't paying me anything to do this. And the reason I spend a week of my life down in Council Bluffs is because I believe in what they're doing. It's highly educational, and you come away meeting new friends and with different perspectives. And the lineup of speakers is always great. Rico, you went there a number of years. What did you think of it?
Absolutely. I definitely think that you definitely can gain the synergy that you gain from the CMC, by being around like-minded individuals that are thinking about being progressive in their business and being progressive in growing their business, or just having a progressive look at the business of trucking overall, how to improve it. The synergy that comes from that, the relationships that you build from that, I mean, that's exactly how me and you began, built our relationship with the meeting at the CMC. And growing from there, from that point forward. And who knows, thinking back then, who knew that, we would have had the relationship that we've been able to develop, but it all came from that synergy of being in the moment right there at the CMC with all of the different people there, the different activities that were going on, and the sharing of information back and forth. It's definitely something that, once in your lifetime, like I said last week, we were talking about the seminar with Blair that he offers, the coaching that he offers. Make an investment in yourself. There's a lot of things that you could be spending money on that are way more frivolous and not going to give you nowhere near the return on value that money could be spent towards doing it. If you just make an investment within yourself to go and see what you can do to help improve yourself and improve your life and improve your business, it'd be much more gratifying than, maybe buying that shiny piece of chrome that you can stick on the truck.
Yeah, I totally agree. If you think
I'm not a big show truck guy. I mean, I like looking at the nice, pretty trucks and everything. But as far as myself, I don't know. I guess it's because I got I got daughters and everything else, and I think, man, that's a college fund, that I can.
And you're right. The problem with chrome is it looks awful when it's dirty. So you got to spend your Sunday when you're not working shining your chrome.
Yeah, a lot more time, But that's just my thing. But definitely the bigger story of what I was trying to say and what I was getting at is just definitely make that investment within yourself. Always be trying to grow yourself and improve yourself, because the one of the sayings that I try to take with me everywhere I go is the biggest room in everybody's house is the room for improvement. And we definitely are always trying to figure out some kind of way that I try to take with me, and I try to pass that on whenever I can.
100%. If you think education is expensive, try ignorance.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. With that being said, Chuck, we about ready to wrap up the show. We want to thank you guys for taking time out of your busy schedule. Definitely thank Chuck for taking time out of his schedule for coming on and being on board with us. We are going to we're going to start back up the segment with Hank Seaton as well. So if you have questions, we have not discontinued that segment with Hank Seaton. He's been doing some stuff, going through leadership training with his organization, with a church organization that he's a member of. And so it kind of conflicts a little bit with what we have going on. And what we're going to attempt to try to do is record those shows with Hank. So if you have questions or if you have issues, of course, always go over to the Facebook page, Rates and Lanes. Drop us a note over there. We'll try and relay those. And when we get ready to try to start back up recording those shows, we can have those questions that we can try to implement and get them in to Hank to try to get you answers to your questions or if there's something that you're dealing with. And if you are dealing with something that's really pressing, Hank is more than gracious. You know, drop me a line and we'll try if you need some help or some advice on that. He's been more than willing to talk to you guys. Just reach out to me. I'll try to get you contact information so that you can get over to Hank and get some help if you got something going on. But we want to try to always be a resource for you guys. You know, anything that we have access to, we want to try to pass that along to you guys so that you can have access to it as well. So with that being said, no further ado, Chuck, anything you want to say in closing?
No, you know what, Rico, thank you very much for hosting the show. You do such a wonderful job. I mean it. I always enjoy listening to you.
Oh, I appreciate it. Thank you. It's like you say, it's kind of grown from, you know, just going back and forth and reading a couple of different reports. And we're trying to, like I say, we want to try to improve and grow the show and bring some different things to light, get some more professionals on here. And we definitely appreciate you contributing and coming on board and trying to help us take it to another level as well. So we definitely are appreciative of that. And hopefully, you know, we're looking at some bigger and better things coming down the road and some more things.
Certainly are.
Always welcome our listeners. Please, by all means, we always welcome your feedback. Give us some feedback. Give us some homework to do. Task us with a couple of different things, and we'll try our best to deliver for you. And with that being said, we want to just, like once again, thank you guys for taking time out of your schedule. Tell a friend to tell a friend about the show. Go over to the Facebook page, Rates and Lanes. Like us over there. Give us a, you know, so we can get information disseminated out to you. We try to let you know when we are going to be broadcasting. We try to provide links for you and everything of that nature over on the Facebook page. So go join and link up with us over there and so that you can be a part of the show on a more regular basis. And with that being said, God bless you. And keep it in between the mustard and the mayonnaise, ladies and gentlemen. We'll talk to you, God willing, same time, same place next week.
Catch you on the flip-flop.
Good night, Chuck.